Hello and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion and worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available.
In the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. They were simply continually repeated. That's why when you would go into the courtyard of the temple, the tabernacle, you would find the dead bodies of the animals bloody and burned all over the place because they had to continue day after day, year after year. Their work was never complete. That's the significance of Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. His work is complete. It is finished. There's no more sacrifice. There's no more need for a propitiation. I've driven away. I've made acceptable the people of God. And so you have that imagery going on in the Old Covenant. Now, think about this, what you would find with the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant, we had overlaying the Ark of the Covenant as the mercy seat. And the law of God was in the Ark of the Covenant. And above the Ark was the Shekinah glory, the glory of God. And when the high priest would sprinkle the blood, they would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, which would be a symbol, a sign of propitiation. It didn't take it away. It simply foreshadowed the one that would, and God required that because through those ceremonial sacrifices, it drove the people to recognize a need of a Savior. That they only typified the Savior's work. Now, it's important that you recognize this. The law of God is below, the glory of God is above, and the mercy seat is in the middle. And the demands of the law of God are satisfied by the propitiation, which is symbolized in the sprinkling of the blood. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away the sin. Jesus alone could take away the sin. But they were taught by types and shadows under the old covenant. When the high priest would come in, he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat and thereby providing for us the satisfaction necessary. And he'd also sprinkle it in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Think about that. We are cleansed in the sight of God and then we are restored to fellowship with one another, aren't we? It's not only one. When God restores us to fellowship, He also causes us to walk in the light with one another. There is a restoring and a peace and fellowship with the body of Jesus Christ through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is a wondrous significance of the propitiation, the work of Christ on our behalf. Notice how exclusive this is. The propitiation, the only one. No other? One, and His name is Jesus. Now, let me ask you this question. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, the bread and the wine. And this is not the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is a sign and a symbol of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This points us to the work of Christ on our behalf. And as the propitiation for the saints was only one way by Jesus Christ, so as you, as believers, are you trusting only in what God has provided for you? Are you coming to Him alone as the only hope of the nations? Are you coming to Him alone as the only hope of your forgiveness, your propitiation, of your sins being driven away, of you being made right before God. Beloved, are you trusting Him? You have to trust in Him. You children, you have to trust in Him. You have to believe in Jesus Christ as the only sacrifice for your sins. And if you don't, you must cry out to the God who alone can give faith for you to trust the only sacrifice provided for atonement for your sins. Are you looking to Him? He is the only propitiation, not only for our sins, but also for the whole world. Now, this is not universalism. Many like to take these things as universalism. Well, look at that. Jesus atoned, propitiated for the whole world. If Jesus died for the whole world would be saved. Jesus never dies as a potential salvation. He always dies as an actual salvation. And so then, if He dies only as an actual salvation, that means when He came and when He lived and when He died, He actually propitiated the wrath of God against the sins of His people. He made appeasement. He made them favorable for those who were given to Him alone. That's what He did. And when John writes here, he's writing to predominantly Jewish audience. He is telling them that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. Not ours only as Jews, but also for the whole world. You see, we don't understand that what going-ons were happening in the early church. The Gentiles coming into the body of Christ, they're dogs. They're outcasts. We don't want them. They're unclean. You remember the sheet that came down in Acts 9? You remember that Peter saw this, and three times it appeared to him? 9, 10, and 11. You have the salvation of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. You have Peter seeing the sheet. You have the Gentiles being cleansed. And you have the Jews accosting Peter for this very reason. That he went in to eat with uncircumcised men. Men of the Gentiles, how dare you? Well, brothers, let me tell you something. This is what God has done. Three times this happened, and three times a voice from heaven says, Peter, what I have cleansed you must not call common. And at that moment, there's a knock at the door, and three Gentiles were standing, and I doubted nothing but went with them. We went to Cornelius' house, and I preached the gospel to them at Cornelius' house, and the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and they began speaking in tongues. Now, don't think that because the Holy Spirit came and He regenerated their souls, that everybody now has to speak in tongues. How would the Jews know that these Gentiles were truly believers? God gave them a sign that it was attended by the speaking with tongues. It was the glory to God. There was an inclusion of the Gentiles into the body of Christ. Caiaphas, the high priest, John 12, he said to all the Pharisees there, you guys know nothing. He said, it is best for one die for than the whole nation perish. And not only that nation, but also all the other nations. In other words, Christ died not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. From every tribe, tongue, and nation of the world, God has His elect people, and He's bringing them in. And the only way, beloved, to come in is through the work of Christ. Are you trusting His work? I cannot stress that enough, that your sufficiency, your joy, your crown, your rejoicing, your eternal salvation, your righteousness, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your all in all is Jesus Christ. And He's the only one there is to look to. God gave one Son to be the propitiation for the sins of His people. Jesus, are you looking to Him? That's what you declare when you come forward and take the bread and the wine. You are saying that Christ is the one who has propitiated the wrath of God against my sins and has made me favorable in His sight. And if that's the case, look at the last point that he makes here. Verse 3, now by this we know that we know Him. Do you know that you know Him? I didn't ask if you know about Jesus. All you Sunday school kids know about Jesus. I asked, do you know Him? If I ask you, do you know the President of the United States? You would say, no, I don't know him personally, but I know about him. Yeah, that's right. But you don't know him personally. You don't have a relationship with him personally. Do you know Jesus Christ as the propitiation, the only propitiation to drive away the wrath of God against your sins? Do you know him? Are you in him, and is he in you? Do you know him as the five wise virgins who then went out to meet the bridegroom and then followed along to the wedding feast? Or are you like the five foolish who knew about him but didn't know him, and then to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. To know him is to have union with him. It's to be personally and savingly united to him. Beloved, do you know him? You must know him. You cannot be saved but by knowing him. And this is what John says, you know that you know him if you keep his commandments. It's what the Heidelberg Catechism says, doesn't it? 114. Why does God keep us under the Ten Commandments and none of us can keep them in this life? That we might more and more know our sinful nature. Then it goes on, it says, even the holiest men in this life, they only have a small beginning of such obedience. But, nevertheless, with full confidence, with assurance, with zeal, with desire, they begin to live obedient, not only according to some, but according to all the commandments of God. Our obedience is not the sacrifice for our sins. Our obedience is not our entrance into heaven. Our obedience is a result, it's a fruit, it's a manifestation of the work of Christ on our behalf, that you truly know Him. You see, beloved, if you are in Him and He is in you, His life is within you. And His life flows out from you by the things that you think, the things that you say, and the things that you do. Now, if you are of the opinion that you know Him, and yet you continued in an unbroken pattern of sinful lifestyle, you're deceived. You do not know Him. John wrote this for us as believers, that you can know that you know Him by your desire and your zeal to keep His commandments. Beloved, He is our propitiation. He is our advocate. And so as believers, when we do fall short, run to Him. Run to Jesus. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He guarantees you that life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing separates you from Him. Don't run away from the Savior. Run to the Savior. Because you are in Him. He is your advocate. He loves you. And He has satisfied the just demands of God's law on your behalf. And He pronounces you to be forgiven.
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencercus.com. There you will find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.